night on The Tomorrow Show. Roxy is hosting and it's getting tense. Her and Klaus are like Cain versus Pence. And if you want a gun, you better go to the ranch. That's the way they would do it in France. If you want a gun, you better go to the ranch. That's the way we should do it here. According to Bonjour Juliet.
New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of The Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro.
What's up, guys? Roxy Stryer here. Unfortunately, I'm not Kevin Undergaro. He is the absolute best, but he is still on a secret mission. Well, I'm loving how this song revs up, but not quite as much as I love Lauren's introduction song. Lauren, that might have been your best one yet.
Are you serious?
It was really good.
Wow, I'm honored. Well, it was fun to rhyme pence and tense. And so you and Michael were really the perfect combination platter.
Lo, you make up too many good songs and too many good tunes here to not have to like recycle these at some point. I feel like we need the best of compilation at some point.
Maybe we'll do a medley rocks just for you.
That's Lauren LaGrasso in the booth along with Bonjour Juliet.
Bonjour, bonjour Roxy.
Heavily featured in that introduction song.
I know, I feel very, very famous.
Famous AF.
AF.
Famous AF. Michael Klaus, my arch nemesis, in studio at the bar. What's up, Michael?
Nothing much. Arch nemesis?
In a good way.
In a good way. Mutually respect. Arch nemesis.
Do you think people usually respect their arch nemesis? I feel like they do.
My first thought when you said that is the movie Anchorman, which Vince Vaughn is very much clashing with Will Ferrell. He says, "I hate you, but GD, do I respect you?"
Is that goddamn?
Yeah, I don't say that. So that's.
Oh wow.
Good.
More things that we learn.
Gosh darn it, do I respect you?
Do you know what I thought when you said GD? What we call GDIs. Do you know what a GDI is?
Why does that sound familiar?
So this is what, when in Greek life, if you're in Greek life in a sorority or a fraternity, anybody who's not, you call GDI. We shorten that to GEDS. It stands for goddamn independent. It means that you're just not in the house. But, like, you use it very negatively. You'll be like, oh, they're such a fucking GED if they don't understand Greek life. And that's a little inside baseball for you guys on Greek life. Saving the middleist for last, Ashley Grace Daniel.
The middleist, that's me. Hi, guys.
So I'm saving you for last, Ash, because you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I just wanted to
torture me for some reason tonight.
Yeah, I wanted to inform the audience on a little something that happened a few minutes ago before the show. So prior to the show, we get together as a group.
I really don't know what's about to be said. I'm like ready to just crawl into the table.
We get together as a group, as most shows do, and we talk about the topics we're going to talk about that night. And we also pitch things. And tonight we had a really great pitch meeting. We have some awesome things we're going to talk with you guys about, some great news stories from Michael Klaus, all different kinds of things from Netflix to what's going on in Las Vegas, Gabrielle Union, Cam Newton, what's
oh
up there?
Goodness.
So we've got great things. And Ashley, I love her creativity.
Oh, God.
She always brings these amazing things to the board. And one of her suggestions tonight was, I kid you not, what if we make up brain results? Like, we all got our brains scanned, and we tease that at the top of the show, and we give brain results at the end, like which ones of us have brain damage.
Yeah.
That was a legitimate pitch from Ashley Grace Daniels, everybody.
Hashtag brain results.
That's me. Hey, guys.
What's the scale of which brain damage? Like, what is your metric system that you would have used?
1 to 10. 1 being brain damaged to the point of no return. 10 being
so
very
brain dead.
Very unbrain dead. Yeah, 1 being brain dead.
I just love, like, so what made you bring that to the table? Like, where? I don't know if you have an answer.
I just, like, I say, like, I kind of, like, throw up creative ideas sometimes. I don't know where they come from.
It's creative
just,
like, vomit.
It's creative vomit. So it just came out of my vomit.
Yeah. So that is one that we actually will probably use at some point. So I will eat crow on that when we end up using that. But I applaud you again, Ashley Grace Daniels.
Thanks, guys. Okay, thanks, guys.
She'll be here all night.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're so lucky.
Yes.
So let's talk about some things that actually did make it to the table. This is something that I'm so excited to share with you guys. So I've been auditioning a good amount recently because that's what you do when you are a struggling actress, host, etc. in Hollywood. You're really a professional auditioner. And so I went on an audition last week for this awesome company that I don't know. You guys all know this, but I don't know if you guys know this at home. There's a huge difference between auditioning for acting things and hosting things. Like if you're going in for an acting audition, you've got your sides, so the lines, you've got everything that you're learning. You go in, you're usually prepared, you've somewhat memorized, you perform, there's another person who's talking with you. When you go in for hosting, you don't know what the fuck they're going to throw at you.
Yeah, it's because, improv a lot.
Right, you need to know, they need to know you can roll with the punches. So there's really not that much preparing you can do typically. So I walked into this host audition and they asked me a slew of questions like, how many sexual partners is too many to have? That's a legitimate question.
And your answer was? I
said, to each their own, man. I don't think there is a too many to have.
But you had
and it also depends on what age you are, is what I talked about.
But you had a number in your head, and what was it?
No, I didn't.
No.
Not at all?
No, Mr. Non-Judgy Claimer.
I come here to hear your stories, as does every other one of our viewers. We got to hear this kind of stuff.
Well, I don't think that there is a number that's too many to have slept with. First of all, if you are 20 years old versus being 100 years old, like,
true,
that's a totally different game. How long you've been single, what you're into, I don't know. There's all different things. I don't think you can judge that. But the weirdest question they asked me was, what is the best store to steal from? What is the best store to steal from?
You should maybe know.
Well, this is where my problem was, because I was like, okay, I was a little Winona Ryder back in the day. I did the whole rich kid stealing from the stores to stick
it
from the
man.
Wait,
what do you mean? Tell us what you're talking
about. So, you know, Winona Ryder got caught shoplifting.
I know who she is. I get that. I said, why are you Winona Ryder?
So because that was my life.
Do you know the story about her shoplifting?
Yeah, Winona Ryder. Winona Ryder.
Yes, of course. No, I know.
I'm just comparing
myself. I was trying to be a good friend and be like, Roxy, tell us more.
Okay, so. Good job, Ash.
Thanks.
Nailed it with that seamless transition.
We're all brain dead, so we're trying to...
That's
true.
So
I'm out of one.
I used to, as a kid, and I guess by kid, I mean from maybe 12 to 16, I used to steal things from what I deemed to be non-mom and pop places. So I had this whole moral compass, moral code when it came to it. I wouldn't steal from anywhere that I felt needed the money, only from places that I felt like, F you, you're too corporate for me anyway. I'm not giving you my money. I'm just taking your stuff. Even though, as Kevin has mentioned many a times on this show previously, I certainly had the money to buy those things. I just wasn't going to pay that money because stick it to the man, you know? So I was thinking when they asked me this question during the audition, I'm like, wow, does this bode well for me if I give them a legitimate answer right now? Like, are they looking for me to, if somebody says to you, what's the best store to steal from? Probably the best answer to give is, I don't know, I've never stolen anything. But that didn't go through my mind quick enough. So instead, I just started spewing about all of the times and places that I was stolen from. It was, talk about word vomit, Ash. This came out so fast, I could not catch it quick enough to stop it.
What were their faces doing?
Okay, so this is a company that is predominantly African American, and they're super cool. Like, the hippest, coolest company. And here I am, this, like, little nerdy white chick walking in. So I think they probably were testing me to see if, like, I had any kind of edge to me at all.
Any balls.
Any balls. And so their jaws were on the floor because they were shocked that I had been a little bit of a thief back in my day. So I talked to them about where were the best places to steal from, such as Victoria's Secret, because those people didn't make commission, so they didn't care if you were stealing, and also they didn't keep those taggies on everything. But then I went a step further to explain what the worst stores were to steal from, even though that was not part of the question. I wanted them to know that I was fully knowledgeable.
You're invested.
I am so knowledgeable on any topic you can throw at me that let me tell you where I have stolen from. So I'm not going to name the store because I think that would get them in trouble. But I told them about this story from when I was about 15 years old. I used to go stealing with a friend of mine that we called Bishop. And Bishop was this big girl. She was like this fierce, big, could rip the tags off of things.
Was that her birth name?
Girl.
Or did you guys call her that?
That's what we called her. We called her Bishop.
What was her real name?
No, we're not going there.
What is that? Producer, help me.
Ask someone's real name on air. Do you mean the ink things that keep you from... Okay.
So you know those things that they have to take off with the magnetic things so that they spill blue ink on everything? She could literally beast them open. Without them breaking. It was epic. So Bishop was the best person to go.
Yeah.
We called it receiving. That was our word. We're receiving things today because we felt as if those things were coming to us.
So what do you mean? You guys would get together in the schoolyard, like let's meet up later and receive things?
Okay, first of all, I've never used the word schoolyard ever in my life. That was like not a legitimate thing. That's something people say in movies.
In Greece.
That definitely did. Yeah. You want to get together in the schoolyard?
What do you call it?
Well, we didn't have like a school.
Well, would they have a meetup place? Like, would you guys have a meetup destination? Because you didn't have texting then, right? So you'd like, how would you discover you guys were going to do your receiving?
What are you talking about? I'm 14.
Oh, okay.
We have text message. It was like Razor phones. It was an iPhone.
Okay,
but...
well, whatever. Is that how you did it? You would talk over text or would you do it in person first?
Well, I guess both. Like, these were my friends, my actual friends. So like, if we were on play dates together or sleepovers or like in class, it would be like, we just say you want to go shopping after school. And then when we left, it'd be like, oh, I'm going to receive this sports bra today. Oh, well, I'm going to receive. Like, we couldn't even admit what we were doing out loud. Like, I could never use the word stealing because I'm not a thief. So, like, I couldn't even say that.
Neither was Robin Hood.
Totally. And also, I would never, ever have stolen from any of my friends. Like, it wasn't like I was a person who was stealing from people that I cared about. So I couldn't even fathom. I couldn't even get to the fact that I was stealing. To me, I really was receiving things. I was going into stores, receiving them, and leaving. Like, that's honestly what you tricked yourself.
Kind of felt like you were owed.
Yes.
Because of all the money you spend there. And whenever you did spend money.
Or just
because,
like, I was like, my life, I've got so many hardships.
Right.
I deserve this, whatever it was. So this one time, Bishop and I, we went to go receiving. And we went to, it was a big department store. And in the department store, we were putting on, what you would do is you would put the pants on under your pants. So first you would put on the pair of leggings that you were receiving. And then you would put on a pair of skinny jeans that you were receiving. And then on top of that, you would put on your flowy pants that you wore there that day. So you could receive two pairs of pants under your flowy pants. You had to pick specific outfits to go receive. Does that make sense?
So now when you received these pants, did you have to buy bigger sizes than what you would normally get?
Or no,
like,
no.
What was the process like?
No, you just are uncomfortable AF.
Okay.
AF. And you just suck it all in and button, you know, you do what you can.
Okay.
And then you put on your winter coat over all the things. So you bundle up. Like, have you ever seen that episode of Friends where Joey comes out wearing all of Chandler's clothes?
Yes.
And like, could I be wearing any more clothes? It was literally like that.
Was it easier to receive in the winter than to receive in the summer?
Totally. In the summer, it looks really sketch when you walk in a winter coat and like big sweats. It's not totally not totally the move. So in the summer, you'd have to receive different things like sunglasses, panties, bras. You couldn't really go for the pants, you know?
Ugh.
Goddamn summers. So Bishop and I were receiving from this department store. And we were in there. I put on the two pairs of pants. I did the whole thing. I probably had a few hundred dollars, maybe $1,000 of clothes on me. And so did she. And we left the store. So when I got home that night, I went to bed. I was excited about all the things I had received. I wake up the next morning.
Sounds like Christmas. I was so excited about everything that I had received that
day. It was exactly like Christmas. We'll get there. And the next morning I wake up and I've got a lot of texts from Bishop being like, call me. Did you see, like, have you gotten the call? And I have a call from this random number. I don't know what's happening. So I call back the number first before I talk to Bishop. And it's the department store. And they have called me to tell me that they have caught me receiving and that I need to return all of the items immediately. They were like, or we'll arrest you, blah, 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 blah. I guess Bishop had given them my phone number, which was
good friend.
Very messed up of Bishop. She had to, though. I understood. So I said to them, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. And they said, we have you on camera. And now I knew that they didn't have cameras in the dressing room. So I said, what do you mean you have me on camera? And they told me that, do you remember back in the 2000s when upskirting was a trend? Yeah. Everybody would take their flip phones and they would put them underneath women's skirts and they would check out their cooters.
Yep.
Yes.
So this 12-year-old boy was essentially upskirting me and Bishop in the dressing room. So he had put his phone with his camera on it underneath the stall to watch us changing. When he realized we were receiving, he went and gave that footage to the department store to get us in trouble because he wanted to get paid for it, which is
child pornography.
Yes. Kind of a smart
12-year-old. A, child pornography. B, just, and this follows up with A, so illegal.
Mm-hmm. Disgusting, evil behavior.
Horrible.
How jealous.
A
12-year-old even thinks about, like, hey, this could make me money.
So this department store actually told me that this happened, which is baffling in itself. Because,
idiots.
Yeah. So I said to them, luckily I was smart enough to know, that's illegal. And if you guys actually follow through with this, I will sue your asses. And who do you think's gonna win? A 15-year-old girl who's been upskirted and then a massive corporation bought that footage? Or you guys, because I received a couple hundred dollars worth of things. So they dropped it. And I still own the clothes today. True story. I wore a pair of the pants this week.
You still fit in the same pants as when you were 14?
Damn right I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are like the solo hardtail stretchy mm-hmm. leggings pants. Not the same. Oh, okay. Not the same jeans. I stopped growing at a certain point. It was kind of sad.
Once you got your period. that's what happens to girls. Once we get our period, we stop growing, Michael.
Appreciate the insight.
I feel like I grew a little after I got my period.
Yeah, this was after I did. All right. I don't know whether that's here nor there. But anyway, so that was my receiving story. And I managed to get all of that out during the audition.
Awesome.
Needless to say, I did not receive a call back.
Oh.
Brutal. So you guys, any receiving ever happened on anybody's part in here? Yeah. Any thievery?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I'll admit to it. My dad was away, which on the East Coast, you say that when they're away. You can imagine what away is.
Yeah, they're on vacation. Prison.
Yeah. So times were hard.
Oh, on vacation in Florida?
He was on vacation in Florida, yeah. So times were hard, you know, and my sister was doing the damn thing and having fun with that. So I was broke, and my mom got a job, and I was still in school, and that's no excuse, obviously, but I couldn't afford makeup that year. We literally could not even pay our bills for the whole year. We didn't pay bills in our house or anything. Is that legal to say? Anyway, so
there's a 7-year limit of statutation or something. That's why I admitted to.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, there's a Walgreens down the street from my house, and I would go there. Walgreens? Okay, I'm sorry, Walgreens. Yeah, and I go there, and
Walgreens.
It's like a Walgreens. It's like an Osco drug when we had those. You guys remember those?
No.
No. Okay.
Probably because you got your period.
Yeah, probably. So there was this lip gloss that was expensive to me. I mean, it was like $15, and it was the type that would like plump your lips, and I loved it, but I would go through it so fast that like within a week, I would put lip gloss on. Within a week, it would be gone.
Literally, I've never seen somebody who applies lip gloss as much as Ashley Grace Daniels
does.
Yeah,
I apply a lot of lip gloss.
Liberally.
It's a thing for me, and I always do it. And so I was applying a lot of lip gloss. So it'd be like $15 a week and it added up. So I discovered that there was a chance I could slip it under my shirt. And I did it easily. I had a jacket on, a leather jacket with a long sleeve shirt, and I held it in my hand and I kind of like cupped my hand and then slowly would take my thumb and push my thumb, push the lip gloss with my thumb until it reached up my shirt. So you would no longer see the lip gloss, and it would just sit in my shirt.
Veteran move. Like it.
And so I was like, okay, that was so easy, and I just saved $15. I can do this again. I'll just do it again. So the next week I went back and I did it, and then I liked it so much. The next week I went back and I did it. And
so proud.
I kept doing it, and then for some reason they ran out of this lip gloss.
Shit.
So I was like, shit. Like, I want to ask them when they're getting it back in stock, but I also don't want to, like, I don't know.
You don't want to be obvious.
I don't want to be obvious. So I'm like, hey, do you guys know when you're getting that lip gloss back? And they're like, well, we don't know because I guess the inventory isn't matching up with our supply. Like, we don't understand where it's going. And I'm like, oh, that explains why it's never here. That's the reason I asked. And they're like, yeah. And I said, okay, I hope we get it back or whatever. And they never got it back, and I never stole again. Now, if they kept getting it back, would I have kept doing it? Maybe.
Lauren, hit me with been caught stealing Jane's addiction.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I ever stole.
Wow. Well, yeah, things. Multiple. Yeah. I'm impressed because you lived by the letter of the law so hard. Like, you were the kid who told on the other kids in school.
Only when they were strangling me or something bad, but yes. Yes.
Wait, were you like the 12-year-old? Turns the footage in. Is that you?
Not if it had nothing to do with me. But if it had something to do with
100%.
Me.
Yes, 100%.
No,
she was such a narc. Such
no!
a narc is crazy.
You guys don't know me.
Oh, yes, that's right. I don't know you.
Don't
You're
know
still
me.
A narc to
You're
this day.
Stranger.
Like, if Ash didn't know me and she saw me smoking in the parking lot, she would call the cops. Nobody was surprised by that? No. That's the point. Nobody was surprised by that. All right, anybody else? Nobody wants?
Yeah, I did. I stole.
Everybody calls me when they have a problem. So
when I was 4 or 5, I went into a local photo shop that also sold novelty items, and they had a lot of appealing baubles.
Ooh, Lauren loves the bauble.
Love a good bauble.
So I saw, what is a
bauble?
Just like little trinkets, good fun things, like cute little, like you know, silly putty and bouncy balls and like little dolls. So I just did what any normal child would do and started stuffing them down my shirt. And
I think that's very, very intelligent for a 5-year-old.
Yeah, I was.
You knew you had to hide it.
I did.
You knew you couldn't walk out with it.
Couldn't just walk out. You had to place it somewhere. So I put a bunch of items in my shirt. I would say between 10 to 15. And it was going really well. But as we started walking out of the store, the baubles were falling one by one out of my shirt.
Crap. You blew
and
it.
My mom
Rookie mistake.
Me. It was a rookie mistake. I didn't know how to receive, Roxy. I needed you in my life.
Everybody's got to learn to receive.
Yeah. You know what? You really do.
You really do.
You really do. So anyway, my mother made me turn around and apologize, and I was crying. And I remember thinking okay, I feel like I think I'm crying because I feel bad, but really, I feel bad that I didn't get to keep those things because they were really cool.
That is the worst feeling.
Yeah.
When you get caught receiving and then all of a sudden people are like, oh, you're sad about it. And it's like, no, I really wanted them.
I really wanted them.
Just by the way, as in a moment of seriousness, as an adult, as a full-grown adult, to anybody who's listening who is in their receiving phase, which is a lot of kids, a lot of people, and I totally get it being that little rebel self that I was, but it's literally one of the dumbest things you can do and can actually ruin your life.
Yes.
So while we are joking about it and it's all in good fun right now, I want to slap my 14-year-old self in the face. I am so lucky that I got off the way that I did because holy crap, could that have affected my life? If I had actually been caught and actually arrested, I would not have gone to school. where I did, which means I wouldn't have moved out to LA, which means I wouldn't be hosting the Tomorrow Show right now.
Oh,
I found a loophole that I think was very interesting.
Bonjour.
A little
This
loophole.
Is a French loophole?
We
like to loop it.
We like it. No, it's actually an American loophole. One of my favorite stores, whenever they have sales, they put the on top of the tag, they put a sticker. It's like a cheaper version.
So you take the sticker and
so
you put it on
the
other
sticker
things?
Off?
I would take the sticker. It's like, $10 and go put it on something else.
So
you would feel good about yourself because you're like, I did pay something for this.
Exactly. Yes. I paid something for it.
I had friends like that.
It's not completely stealing.
You're partially receiving. It's
partial
receival.
Yeah. Exactly. A partial receival.
PR.
One time my heart dropped because I went to pay. And they're like, this is mislabeled. Wait, this one's mislabeled.
Wow, greedy.
And I was just like, uh-oh. And you know what? I had thought, you know, in my head, if this happens, you have to play it cool. You have to stick with it.
Yes.
It's going to be okay.
Die with the lie.
You flip it back on them. And you go, what do you mean? What do you mean it's mislabeled?
What do you mean you mislabeled it?
How could you do that? And they're like, this tag you see with this number, this serial number, that means it's a new item. It's impossible for it to be on sale. We just got it in. And I'd be like, well, it's the price that's put on the tag.
I already started planning the event I'm going to wear this to for this price. God
exactly.
Damn you.
And then, and so that was the only time I got caught. I did stop. That was like the last time I did it because it kind of just scared me.
Yeah.
But that was, if anyone wants to try, that's a loophole.
But
again, we're not encouraging this at all.
I've thought about that.
Ooh.
Michael.
God-loving Michael.
I stole a candy bar once when I was younger. But here's the thing.
Guys, write down this time code and make sure we pull this.
All right, got it.
Really?
Thank you, Lauren. Uh-huh.
But I
pull this for later.
But I think it was I was so young I didn't understand the you had to pay for items.
Oh, bullshit.
You
bullshit. You are a receiver like the rest of us, my friend.
I only say that because I remember getting in my parents' vehicle after it happened and literally pulling out the candy bar and eating it, like not concealing it at all. And that didn't go over well.
But you remember that you stole it, so you know you stole it.
But I remember there was a lesson from my parents of this is not
old enough to know better, young enough not to care.
Okay, now that
Michael Klaus. Bomb drop.
Same thing happened to me as a kid. I didn't understand the concept of stealing.
See, it happens in basketball.
I did.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't get it. I was really little.
I didn't get it.
Dad, I thought we could just receive these things.
But I tried. I really, really tried.
I'm sorry.
All right, guys. Moving on from stealing to talking about something that you guys can all relate to because we all work together. Working with friends. Now, this is a challenging one to discuss. Because you guys are my friends and you're my coworkers, but I've run into a couple of issues recently that I feel we should try to potentially solve, but also I just kind of want to get your thoughts and you guys have similar things like this. So especially in the entertainment industry, I find this to happen. Yeah. Rock and roll, baby. Oh, I didn't know I had that voice. That was pretty cool. Grungy and good.
Didn't you used to always sound like that?
Yeah. In my smoker days.
Yeah, old Roxy.
Back in half a day, Roxy. Yeah. If you pull up old AfterBuzz videos, that is what I sounded like. So here's the deal. Over at AfterBuzz, where you guys know there are 250 hosts, and many of them are very good friends. That's what happens when you grow up is you're not in school anymore. So you're not making your friends with your classmates. You make friends with your coworkers. And I think that's probably true of all jobs. A lot of people's best friends work, with them. So,
and a lot of them are new to LA. So this is your, you find people to bond with.
Yeah. And you have common interests, common goals. And also it starts by I can help you with this. Can you help me with this? And then you're spending time together. And then all of a sudden you're fucking and it's what just happened? So this is an incident that's taken place recently, and I'll obviously avoid names, but we have people over there who are on staff, and then we have people who are our hosts. So staff is in people who are producing, scheduling, engineering, etc. Hosts as in they are talent, they show up and they film their stuff. And recently we've been having a lot of discussions about staff members hanging out with hosts and talking to them like they're their friends about problems at work when we all work in the same place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's been an interesting debate on how much you can talk to your best friend if your best friend is one of your kind of coworkers. And I don't know. I don't know where the line is and what is exactly right. But how do you guys feel if you work with somebody? Is work off limits to talk about? Is it off limits to talk about another coworker? Or are you allowed to if you're off the clock and there's an understanding that things cannot be discussed when you're back at work?
It's an interesting question because I also, I also work at AfterBuzz for Red Carpets. I help Jeff Graham, who's obviously he's
Warmly
one of,
Jeff.
One of the very favorite people Warmly of the Jeff. Tomorrow Show.
The wearer of the smock.
Yes. Oh. Yes, the Walmart smock. And he listens to the show. So hello, Jeff. And there are a lot of times where ever since I have kind of switched over to that part where I'm now also helping with Red Carpets, where I get a lot of hosts that will ask me like, hey, like, because we're friends, like, do you think that you can bump me up on this? Like, I really want to do this carpet. It's kind of unfair that I can't do it. And it's like this weird feeling because it's like that's your friend, but at the same time, it's not fair. And I know if it becomes a matter of like you have to just blame it on the job like to get out of the situation. You're like, listen, it has nothing to do with me. It's unfair as somebody working with other like 300 people. It's just not right for me to just single somebody out because I like you.
But what if it's something that's a little
awkward.
Less cut and dry? Like what if it's something that's funny? So say something funny happens, but it might be embarrassing for somebody and you want to tell your friend, but they also work with the other person.
My rule is I always, simply because I've had the uncomfortable situations, always clarify going in of like, this is just between us, but I feel like you're really going to enjoy this or I need to be able to talk about this. But
so as long as you say don't repeat this,
but
then you're golden.
You have to know who you can trust.
Also very true.
You can't just like willy-nilly go all over the place and be running your mouth. That's not
right.
I'm sorry, Lauren. You can't just what?
Willy-nilly.
You can't just willy-nilly.
No,
okay?
You can't.
You can't. And if you need to know who to trust in general and I know the person, just ask me because I'm always right about that. Just saying.
Actually, Ashley is.
I really am, and Lauren can attest to that.
Probably because you got your period.
No, always right.
She hasn't been wrong since she got her period, Roxy.
Since I was 11.
Nothing's changed.
Which was
nope.
2 years ago.
Thank you, Roxy.
I got you
a true
always.
Friend.
So, Lauren, you think as long as you can trust the person, you can tell them anything
Not
about
anything.
Anybody you work with?
No.
Not anything.
No, because how do you know, Lauren? How do you know you can trust someone?
You don't. Never know. So the best thing is just to keep it quiet between you and God in your diary. But
yes.
if you cannot, Ooh. Then you have to see over a period of time who has good behavior, who has been proven to be a good person, and to, if you've mentioned little nuggets to them, they keep it within. If you've seen this behavior repeated over a series of months, then you can start to slowly tell them this.
Okay, I have a couple things to say based off what you just said, but remind me to talk about between you, God, and your diary in a little bit because I have a great story to tell you guys.
Great.
From that one, but something that I do that kind of is relevant to what you just said, Lauren, and this is very manipulative and effed up, but I do it anyway. Is that if I'm not sure if I can trust somebody I work with and I don't know if they're going to leak things to somebody else, I will start leaking them things that I'm only telling them that are false.
Whoa,
smart.
I like that.
So I will make things up and I will tell it to only that one person. And if I hear it from anybody else under any kind of circumstance, then I know it only could have possibly come from one person. And then that person is.
Do you call them out on it or do you just cold turkey telling them things?
I will call them out if I think that it can help them in the future or they're redeemable. But if it's past redemption or there's no point, like we're never going to have a relationship and I don't think that they would listen to me anyway, then you shuffle off to Buffalo.
Nice.
You know?
We haven't used that term in too long.
Yeah. I miss the shuffle off to Buffalo move.
Wow,
so yeah, that
right
I think
up.
that is the malicious, not malicious,
it's not malicious,
manipulative
it's
way
it's
to do
actually
it.
Actually, intelligent.
It is.
You have to be intelligent about it because, like you said, it can actually create problems in your work environment if you tell the wrong person, even something like silly, like a funny story that could be taken the wrong way. So you have to do that preemptive work to make sure you can trust the person.
Yeah. Yeah. But in general, try to keep your mouths as shut as you can. And like Lauren says, keep things between God, my homie, and your diary. So going to diaries for a second, which was not on my list of things to talk about tonight, but because you mentioned diaries, I would be missing an opportunity to not bring this up. So I'm moving boxes right now. You guys know I'm moving with my boyfriend. And my boyfriend's out of town. He's been out of town for the week. So I'm unpacking both of our boxes. So in unpacking his box, I found a journal.
Go through it.
Getting there.
Just drop it.
So already did.
It opened on a page. Oops, it opened on another page. Oh, another one.
So I know for a fact that he does not currently keep a journal. If he did currently keep a journal, I don't think I would have opened it. But I figured it had to be from a while ago, so I opened it. And oh my God, it was amazing.
Dear diary.
It was so good. I called him immediately after I read all of it.
All of it.
No, I read half of it and called him. Okay, I was reading it and all of a sudden I was like, uh-oh. And it was very clear after reading the first page that this was from like almost a decade ago. But all of a sudden, I still started to feel a little guilty. So I was like, maybe if I call him, I'll feel less guilty. So I called him. I was like, hi, honey, I'm reading your journal. and he was just, and it's so unusual for me because I've never read a single text on his phone, like email, nothing. I was just honestly, for the entertainment value, like wanted to 100%. Read the journal. It had nothing to do. I was not trying to like catch him do anything. I just really wanted to hear his thoughts. So I was like, I'm reading your journal. And he was like, I don't have a journal. What? And I was like, No, this is your journal. It was so long ago he had forgotten he had written any of this. He was like, oh my God, what does it say? It was to die for. It was like, he was talking about the way he looked at the world. And he was like,
how old was he at this point for our viewers?
18, 19.
He must have been, maybe 20. Maybe 20. Yeah. Because he's going to be 30. So he might have been 20, 21. So he was like, the world is such a big place. And there's so many people in it. Half the people are women, it seems.
And, it does seem that way, Ben. It really does.
And half of those women are beautiful. And half of those women, like, he just goes on and on. He's having, like, an existential crisis in this journal. And it's so fucking funny and good. So my advice is, if you find your man's journal, read it.
Oh my gosh. Or if you find old journals of yours, those can be so delicious.
Oh my God. I found an incredible old journal of mine that was like talking about wanting to have sex with people, but not doing it because like I couldn't find the time, which was like apparently a big problem I was having at one point, which I don't remember
when
in my
was
life.
This?
It must have been like sophomore year of college.
Why were you so busy?
That's when I started working for Kevin and Maria, and I was going to school full time. So
no sex.
Are you saying didn't have time for the actual sex or everything that went like relationship with
sex? I don't know whether it was a front or not, but it was just like, oh, another day, another not lay. Can't figure out where to fit it in my schedule. I know if I tried hard enough, I could sleep with somebody, but how do you try? Like,
I
was like really bitter about it.
I would like love to have read like your whole.
I'll bring one in for you guys for if you want me to for the Monday show. This Monday, I'll bring in a diary of mine.
I have a snippet of mine of a well I
okay so you bring in a snippet of yours. Who else has a diary that they can read an old entry from?
I do.
Okay, Lolo. Bonjour, don't puss out.
I have one. One's really boring. Mine's about when I moved out here, and it's more like a checklist of to-do things. Yeah. So.
All right, maybe bring it anyway.
We'll see.
Oh, Michael, you suck a big cock.
The closest thing that I have is where you have, like, the Facebook where it's, like, anniversary, like, what you put, like, 10 years ago, and you're like, this is embarrassing.
Okay, well, I have two different types. I have one where I thought...
Look how hot Britney Spears was.
I have one
was.
Where I thought I was
awesome.
Harriet the Spy.
She had a diary.
And so I would go and spy on everybody at school and write down. Then I have another one that's like a real diary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're all going to bring them in. You guys at home, make sure you have your diaries ready, too, so you could join us in the chat. Maybe even we'll take some calls. with some diary entries, because those, they get weirder and weirder the younger you are. Like, we had some weird thoughts. I'm sure you guys did too. Okay, so diaries used to be a thing that we did prior to social media. Now we kind of just vomit it all out there on the web.
Yeah.
Like, instead of writing a diary, people will write 45-page long Facebook posts being like, today I got hit by a car because the bus driver was and the bike was doing this, and then I went and the cat was crying and the, you know, the whole nine yards. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was, who do you hate on social media because either they're an oversharer or they just don't represent themselves that you love in person? Do you guys have anybody that you hate on social media but in person is a mensch? Which, Michael, for you non-Jew, mensch is a very good person.
Okay.
A mensch.
It sounds
You're a
bad.
Mensch.
It
no,
sounds...
somebody's a mensch if they're like the best of the best.
The salt of the earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Oprah's a mensch.
Can a woman be a mensch as well as a man?
Yeah, because I'm using it loosely.
Got it.
Like a woman can be a bastard in a man, you know, like, or like a man can be a bitch.
Yep.
You're a mensch, Lauren.
Aw, you're a mensch, Rox.
Anybody got any? Anybody got any social media villains that in person are your friends?
Yes.
Yes.
Who do go to first? Lauren.
Well, I have a very dear friend from high school. She's an amazing person. We actually even did a game show together back in the day.
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
We literally did that.
Like, you invented a game show?
No, we were on a game show together. Like, we, as like the team childhood friend. So I love this person. She's a great person.
Lauren, you were on a game show?
Yeah, I won $17,000.
Whoa, what?
What just happened? What game show?
Boom. It was hosted by Tom Papa. It was on for one season.
What? Where?
Fox.
You were on a game show where you won?
You watched it.
I did not.
Yes,
I clearly
you did. You tweeted at me about it.
The Soup picked it up as well.
Yeah. That's. How did you know that?
Because I am obsessed with you, Lauren.
Oh, my gosh. Biggest
Wait, what?
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about it later.
Oh, my God.
Is there footage on YouTube or something?
Yes, there is. The Soup.
It's going to be a dead giveaway if I tell everybody, but I already did, so too late. But this person is wonderful, and I adore her. Great human being.
Okay.
She is horrific on Instagram. Her Instagram stories make me want to forget that I ever knew her, which is terrible because she's a lovely lady, but it's just so put on. Like, she doesn't care about sports at all, but for some reason on Instagram she's super into the Golden State Warriors and like ride or die, has to like get their jersey on, and like she pretends
crying
in the games.
Like, Lauren, why does she need to be that person? Is it because of her career path and she wants to present that image, or is it just because she's like doesn't see that that's not who she is?
I think it's twofold. So I think yes, I think that's what she believes that people want to see. They want to see people being like weird and funny, but it's not funny because it's put on. So she believes that that's what people want to see. And it's like she is going toward the entertainment industry, so she wants to put an image out there. And I think it's also her not realizing who she is on the inside is completely separate from the person she's
portraying. Somebody just tell her? Shouldn't somebody just like tap her and be like, yo?
How do you bridge that, though? How do you bridge that topic? It's so awkward because I heard someone once describe your Instagram page as a TV show that's just about you. And when people unfollow you, they're unfollowing you as a human being, your whole life. So if she thinks in her head that that image that she's portraying is her, and I disrupt that, I could be disrupting a major life lie that she holds true.
That's interesting. That's interesting. But like, maybe she's just unaware. So I feel like I would take it pretty well. If somebody said to me, Rox, your social media game's real weak because you're painting a person that isn't you, I don't think I would take that offensively. I think I would be like, how so, and what do you think I can do to change that?
But you're logical.
Yeah,
you're
true.
Very, very
true.
Logical. You're very fair, and you also always want to get better. This person is incredibly sensitive, and I don't think that she has that same fair and logical viewpoint that you have.
I can't believe you won $17,000.
I know, it's pretty awesome. We almost won $125,000, but the other people I was on with ruined it. So.
Fuck, they suck. I hate them.
See, another reason.
You got fucked.
I should stop being friends with them.
You
I know, I totally fucked. Got fucked.
Michael, who's your person?
So the person lately, and I think they're not going to watch. And again, just like Lauren said, preface it by saying great
person.
Is this
the person I think it is?
No, no, no. This is a different friend who just had a baby.
That person, though, too.
Sexy,
honestly.
Sexy pics only.
Yep. And I, I know who you're talking about.
No non-solo pics allowed.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Okay, but what do you got?
No, but the person lately, and I think they just got addicted to the likes of, like, when something as good is happening in your life, it's nice to have people to support you. So she had this baby, actually, like, just had it. Congratulations if you're watching this and listening to this.
Yeah, congrats.
Congrats.
For you.
You
said
baby.
Ooh,
but
you did,
I think,
yeah, push
great
that out
in real life. But I think she just got addicted to the likes and then, like, was sharing everything.
Like baby's first vomit.
She literally just had the kid like 2 days ago. So even like I just felt a kick, or like the updates of like coming in 6 weeks, coming in 5 weeks and 3 days.
But what was the? Is this Twitter or is this?
It's on Facebook.
Oh.
And it was just so many statuses of like random, like baby's coming in 12 days and 3 hours.
I think that this probably has to do a little bit with my age, but I totally feel you on this one. I think that maybe when I'm a little older and I have baby fever a bit more, I'll get it. But at this point, there's no other life event that people post that much about.
That's
but when
ridiculous.
You're pregnant, people post like every single week.
And I'm happy for her and her husband, but like...
you don't need to know about it all the time.
I don't need to know about, you know, certain milestones. Great.
Ashley's going to be that person.
For sure.
For sure.
What?
You can post all the time.
And then you're going to make your baby take pictures with those little, like, 1 month chalkboards
yes.
in front of them.
Yes.
Fucking hate that shit. It looks so cheap.
Now,
I'll never do it.
Now you do.
Yeah. Now you're going to
okay,
do
fine.
It.
Yours will be encrusted with diamonds.
Yeah, they're so cheap
glitter
looking.
And Swarovski.
I can't.
But talking
fucking
about...
putting their kids on, like, a sheet. Like, throw your kid on a sheet and put, like, a number next to it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
What do you think,
I've never seen
what do you
sheet,
think they should put their
awesome.
Kids on?
Like a beautiful blanket or like a beautiful.
How much should they spend on that blanket?
It doesn't have to cost money. That's the thing. It's just having
you
taste.
You should receive it.
You either have taste or you don't.
So you're telling them to steal the blanket?
No, I'm saying you can buy
receive.
A cheap blanket that looks
receive,
super
receive.
Expensive. Or you don't even have to buy a blanket. Buy a beautiful outfit that, and then spread it out. And put, like, if it's a girl, like, maybe sequins, pink sequins or something. Or, I don't know, like, there's so many options. Why chalkboard or sheet? Why are those the only two options that millennials think about with their child that they care so much about?
Because they're cheap.
Because they don't actually
care
about
no the
kid. Taste. They care about themselves.
That was such a weird one, Ash. I didn't know that one bothered you.
Yeah, it bothers me.
But I will say, talking about that one person, Rox, that
yeah.
that we're on the same page with, I call her out on it.
Yeah, that. So we also have a friend who posts, this is what we were alluding to before, she posts only pictures of herself and only makes them sexy. Like they are chest out, butt out, long legs, all of these things, and sexy face. Like, you know, is this still
me?
A term? Yes, this is, I'm talking about bonjour. Is this still a term, Renee Zellweger mouth? Remember when she used to look like she was sucking on a lemon always?
I don't know,
like,
about that one.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Like that mouth that used to be sexy with the lemon face, Renee Zellweger face.
Isn't she called duck lips?
No, it's not duck. Duck lips is Renee Zellweger is lemon. Look
it's
it up. See,
less?
That's the thing. Renee
describe
Zellweger.
For our iTunes viewer, what's a lemon?
So a Renee Zellweger lemon face is like as if you just tasted something tart and you move your mouth accordingly, like. You suck it in.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Did you type in Renee Zellweger lemon face?
Oh, no.
Yeah, type in Renee Zellweger.
She has had so much plastic surgery.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's so unfortunate because she was one of the prettiest people in Hollywood. And now she... lemon face. You see this? This is a whole thing. No. Okay, but that's not...
That's a comic, but...
Yeah.
We see where you're
lemon. Like tart like a lemon. She used to always make this face. So anyway, that's like the sexy face that this person makes. And every picture is just themselves. And it's in front of some blank background. Like they're never doing anything cool. It's just a brick wall or a pink bright wall on Melrose or a white wall. And it's like just you in front of a wall for thousands of pictures.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And I called her out. I said, you need more candid pictures. This whole thing, it's got to stop.
Or pictures of anything else.
But nowadays,
or pictures of anything else.
Anybody who's a millennial thinks a candid picture is them beforehand saying, candid!
Yeah.
And then taking a picture.
That's true.
Like, that is not candid.
Yes.
Candid! Candid!
Yeah.
Hashtag
candid. Yeah.
Hashtag yes. So, I think that... But here's the deal. I would rather somebody... who was awful on social media that I liked in person than somebody who I liked on social media who is awful in person. Because if you're able to trick people that way, you're a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. True.
Like, if you suck in life, but on social media you seem like the coolest, chillest person alive, then that is the worst. Like,
sociopath.
Yeah, sociopath. Those people are definitely the Hitlers of our generation.
Totally. And then you think you're going to approach. That's the only reason I haven't approached Larry David, because I think he is amazing. Like, I'm obsessed with him, and I would have sex with him. And I'm just telling you guys that truthfully.
Wait, what is
I know
the
you
reason?
Think I'm trying to be. I would have sex
with
him.
She wouldn't approach him because he's
I'm
supposed
afraid.
To be an asshole.
He's right, but he comes really? Off so awesome.
So he so lives he lives in the vineyard in the summers next to a dear friend of mine.
I thought you could say next to a deer. For 1 second, I thought you would say
why?
That.
Why? Why would you think I was going
to
say that?
I don't know. I was hoping you were going to say something about him, like, killing the deer
big.
Or something, you know?
Yes, he lives next to a deer permanently. It's a statue.
So tell me, what did your
he
friend say?
He lives next to a dear friend of mine who says that he's awesome.
Oh, wow. Great.
So,
okay.
So that, and they've lived next to each other for years, for months out of the year, for years. And I've heard from everybody else, like, that he's very challenging. But I trust this person because they're not working together in the industry. So maybe he's, like, one person in the industry. But he's quirky.
I was 2 inches away from him at a party. And literally, like, I just was beside myself. I'm like, what do I do? Do I go up to him? Do I not go up to him? I just decided if I do and it's bad, I'll never be happy again.
Yeah, I have that feeling with some of the biggest stars,
sure,
too.
I'm sure.
Like, you don't want your dreams to be crushed. It's almost better not to meet them.
Absolutely.
So it's better to keep them on, like, on a higher pedestal and mm-hmm. instead of just, what if you meet them and you don't even like them? And they're just, like, terrible.
Because then what
people.
Do you do?
Yeah.
Can't go back.
Like, you've lived your whole life looking up to somebody, and then if
but
they
But you
suck,
don't want to live with
Lauren,
that
don't
worry.
Look that sad. It's okay.
It sounds so bad. If I met Billy Joel and he was awful, I don't think I could go on.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know what happened to my mother with Lucille Ball.
Right.
She was devastated. So, like,
your mom met Lucille Ball one time, and Lucille wouldn't even sign her autograph.
My mother
right?
waited for hours, and my mother's mother just passed away, and, like, she waited for, like, 6-7 hours for Lucille Ball to walk out after some gig that she did, and this was, like, all she wanted, and she finally got to the front of the line, and she put her autograph book out, and Lucy was like, I'm not signing any more autographs. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And my mom was devastated. And she was like, my mom was like maybe 11. And after that, I always wonder why my mother wouldn't watch I Love Lucy, or she doesn't want to watch it with me. And she was like, this is why.
And
I'm
here's,
like, oh, damn.
Here's the thing about meeting them too, because your mom could have caught her on a bad day. She could not even be a bitch. You just can catch somebody on the bad day. So, like, even if it's your
Absolutely.
Idol, and even if normally they're great, you can always meet somebody when they're in a bad mood, they're exhausted,
they're
whatever it is,
yeah.
they're human beings. So probably better not to.
But I feel also when you are a celebrity, you are idolized by a lot of people, and you have fans, and your fans, you make your income because people love you and love what you do. You,
totally.
You have some kind of responsibility. I remember seeing a Beyonce interview, and she was saying that it hit her that she had this responsibility, as I'm talking about. One day she was walking in the mall. This is pre her being super, super famous, this early Destiny Child times. And she receives a call about someone in her family who passes. She hangs up. She starts, like, shaking. And someone comes up to her and she goes, oh, my God, Beyonce, can I please take a picture? And in that moment, she was like, yeah, of course. And she had to force herself and smile. And I just think that shows a lot against what Ashley's saying. So there's different kind of people out there, you know?
I completely know, and I completely agree, and I think that is so upsetting for, like, a Beyonce in that situation, because you guys remember when we had X-Pac one time, he told us that he one time was mean to a fan.
Yeah.
Not mean, but, like, just not particularly nice, and that it, like, haunted him.
Wait, didn't he say that a friend said he wasn't nice to him one time? He doesn't remember.
No, he met the person again, and they said, thank goodness, because last time you were awful to me.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And that, so it probably, like, if you are a good person, probably sticks with you.
And all it takes is that one time.
Yeah.
That's a sucky thing.
And that one time can give you a pretty bad reputation. Michael, we're talking about your friend over here.
Well, not necessarily.
He's a good friend of yours.
A good, you know, we're on, like, a first name basis, you know, text each other.
For sure. That's my segue into news for now. Telling the booth so they can play the music.
Booth.
So we're
you guys can't hear that out there because I'm whispering.
So we're talking about Cam Newton, and he is someone who, you know, just like we're talking about a celebrity who has always been known as a really good guy. I mean, helps out a lot of kids. Literally after every touchdown that he scores, he gives a football to a fan, usually a young kid. He's Superman. He's really known as a good guy. And
that's how he literally has made such a big name for
himself.
Yeah,
he has
a great
so
player,
many endorsements
also.
And just, you know, look at that smile. I mean, literally $1 million smile. But yesterday did not have a good day. He had a press conference after football, and there was a beat reporter for the Carolina Panthers, which is who he plays for. He's the quarterback. And the girl was asking, it was a female reporter, and she was asking about a wide receiver running routes of like, hey, he's injured or, you know, kind of coming back. What do you think about him running these routes? Do you trust him? And instead of answering the question, he said he starts chuckling when she's asking the question. And he's like, man, it's just funny to hear a female talk about routes. And it's like a mic drop situation because he pauses for a couple of seconds. And, like, doesn't even answer the question properly and doesn't address it like, I didn't mean like that. And it's like the room goes quiet. And then worse off is she approaches him afterwards to kind of seek out maybe what he meant. And she says it goes worse and he doesn't apologize and, like, continues to just be that sexist person that was on the mic.
Okay. So here's the deal. Because I know that everybody wants to crucify somebody when this kind of thing happens.
100%.
And I get it. And as a female myself, this is outrageously offensive, and I will give us that. That being said, I think that when you are playing a sport that is all male coaches, all men on the field, predominantly male in the entire industry,
yep.
Probably what he's saying is like, oh, this is so funny. It's like, this is a woman who's having this conversation with me. Like, he probably clicks in his head like, wow, this doesn't usually happen. Now, how he phrased it, what he said, is horrible. The intention behind it, do I think he was trying to say, like, women should not and cannot discuss football? Absolutely not.
Wait, you're giving him the benefit. So you're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Kind of. Yeah, it's not a good one. It's not a good one, and it looks real bad, and it is offensive.
I think the worst part about it, just about 2 hours ago, which were Thursday night, just about 6 o'clock, which had been 9 o'clock where he is on Eastern time, he did put about a two-minute message on Twitter. Still, though, to take 24-plus hours to respond to something that has blown up and to not literally address it right away and say, I'm so sorry, this is not what I meant. 24 hours is not good. He lost a Big Dannon sponsorship.
Yes, he did.
Which is Oikos yogurt as well. Dannon yogurt together. Delicious. Lost a big sponsorship. Lost, obviously, had so many people attacking him on Twitter.
When you respond to something like this, though, if you are as big of a star as he is, you have an entire team. And that team is deliberating. He gets saying what he says, his agent does, his manager does, his coaches possibly, the organization, his other sponsors that aren't pulling out. To put together a response, I understand why it might take that amount of time. And I'm not trying to just play devil's advocate because
I'm
don't
really
stand up.
I'm right now to hear what you're saying.
What he says is awful. What he said was not right. I just don't know if he meant what he said, and him taking 24 hours back in the day, 24 hours was nothing. Now with social media and whatnot, it is a long time.
Yes.
But when you have a whole team of people and you're waiting and you know you effed up, it's hard to face that, and it's time consuming. So,
and I'd rather have him wait to say something than say something even more idiotic and then dig himself into a deeper hole and make the public hate him.
I am so surprised right now hearing the response.
But I don't like – here, I do have a question for all the ladies in this room, and then I'd like to see what Klaus thinks too. What do you think about –
So all the ladies in this room.
Yeah, exactly. All the single ladies.
Getting classy.
What do you think about when men don't call women women, when they say a female? Do you have any reaction to that? And let's start with you, Roxy.
Can we start with somebody else?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
So, like, when guys
I'm a little confused.
Are like, oh, you know, females do this and females do that.
As opposed to women do this and women do that. Here. I don't care. Why
you don't care.
That makes you feel objectified?
I feel it's extremely disrespectful.
To call somebody a female as opposed to a woman?
Yes.
Wow. Why?
How come? I've never heard that.
It feels derogatory. I don't know. It's just the intention behind it. It's a connotation.
Do you think the same thing about man and male?
I don't hear a lot of people say male. I hear a lot of men say females. I don't hear a lot of women say males, or that male just did that to me. Because a dog can be male. An animal can
be
a male.
Yeah.
A woman is a woman. Don't call them, to me, it puts me on the same level as an animal, and I don't appreciate that.
What about lady?
Cause lady is fine.
Okay, because I guess looking
lady
at that.
Lady is also associated with being a human being.
I hate lady. Ugh.
But
lady's,
I do
like
not
ma'am.
Like female.
I have no problem with female. I guess I use male all the time.
But I've never once heard you say this male did this and this male did that, or
I'll be
males.
Yeah, he was this white male.
But that's different. You're describing someone in that way. I mean, like when somebody calls out women as a whole as females, or when someone says, well, this female did that or this female did that.
Huh.
It's something that
I've
noticed.
Interesting. I've never thought of
it. And there's always a little edge behind it when I hear a man say that.
I could see that.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I've never thought of it.
So that's why I take more issue with what he said, because he used the word a female.
Hmm. Bonjour, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I actually used to have the same opinion with Lauren, and I think that's actually more of a French thing, because specific to French, that's a very, like she's saying, male is a male mammal or animal. Mm-hmm. Female represents a female animal. So it seems it's very strange. Not strange. It's very disrespectful to call someone that. In English, I don't know why it doesn't bother me as much. So maybe it's a cultural thing. I don't know.
I guess I'm French at heart.
That's what we just found out for sure. That must be it. That's so fascinating. I really never thought about it.
Now you got me thinking, like, what have I said?
Yeah.
You never said it, Michael.
Yes.
But then it opens up the question.
Not here, at least.
Yeah, not in front of me. I wouldn't notice.
It opens up the question of, it's true that it's part of this subjective. Some of us are saying we don't like ladies. Some of us saying I'm fine with ladies.
It very much could be. That's why I was.
I don't think it's disrespectful to say lady. I just personally would not want to be called a lady.
Hey, lady.
Because ladies rarely make history. I had a shirt that said that.
Marilyn Monroe, isn't it? No, her
well-behaved women rarely make.
That's
history.
Well-behaved, yeah.
Women. Well, to move on to another celebrity opening up, and this one about a very personal topic, is Gabrielle Union, who has been married to Dwayne Wade, who's an NBA player, since 2014, and she opened up very personal about miscarriages that she's had in her life. Now, she is 44 years old and says that she has had about 8 or 9 miscarriages, which for any, you know, person in a relationship, you know how hard it can be sometimes to have a kid. And you know, when you hear the news that you're pregnant, you can get excited, but to have it 8 or 9 times, I mean, for you ladies, I know none of you are in very serious relationships, maybe to the point of like children, but what is your thoughts hearing that and her opening up?
Here's the thing that I've been learning more and more recently. Miscarriages are way more common than people realize in general, mostly because nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to talk about it when they have a miscarriage, either because they're embarrassed, which there's, of course, no reason to be embarrassed of, but your feelings are your feelings, or because they're heartbroken, which makes complete sense. You don't want to talk about something when you're heartbroken. It's also complicated because the statistics on miscarriages are so off. Half of the people who miscarry don't even know that they're pregnant in the first place, so those aren't being counted as miscarriages. And some of the people who do know they're pregnant have just taken home pregnancy tests and then they miscarry so that doctors don't know, so they're not part of the statistics. So they're all sorts of the place, like all the stats are all over the place, and there is no place for women to go and actually talk about this. There is no like bros club like you guys have. So I'm happy she opened up about this, and I think it's very brave, and I think that it helps women to see huge celebrities who are beautiful, who are in relationships, who they love and respect, and hear that they've struggled with some of the same issues too. And it doesn't matter how much money you have, how in love you are, miscarriage is a miscarriage, and it can happen to anybody.
Something that I learned, you know, reading from this that really helped me understand, or just maybe gain a better understanding, is she talked about the pressure that she's faced. whenever she, you know, her and Dwayne have been together for 3 years and her age and currently doesn't have a child, and the constant asking of, oh, would you like to have a family? Or, oh, are you trying to get pregnant? And to be dealing with this internally. And she said to be able to answer that question is so, like, what do you tell them? I'm trying, but it's not working. Or, you know, she goes, so for the longest time, you know, she said that she didn't really want to have children. And then it kind of sounds like in this article that having to care for Dwayne Wade's children or his two children, and then he takes care of his nephew as well, that kind of made her want to be a mother. And just to be able to just maybe approach it differently when I'm talking with women of like, oh, are you looking to start a family? To be able to just be more caring in that.
You're wondering if what?
No, that's something that I've learned.
Just
maybe a new appreciation for any, you know, couple that I'm talking with, yeah, of maybe approaching it more lightly.
Yeah, because it is hard. Like, you know, you ask, it happens all the time. When are you getting married? When are you having kids? And marriage is something you can or cannot control a little more. Children are not. And it can be a sensitive topic. I don't know anybody who's had an easy pregnancy from start to finish. I literally don't know one person who got pregnant right when they were trying, never had a problem with their pregnancy, had their kid, like, no issues the whole way.
I think that tells us a little bit about our generation right now, because everybody I know who is my age has had to use some type of like a fertility treatment, right, or whatever it was, and all of my friends have twins because of that. Now, is that because it's easier to or more attainable now, or because people aren't as patient to get pregnant, or is there a deeper reason?
Or we fucked up our bodies because of what's going on
in
the planet?
My mother said but my mom didn't try to get pregnant. She just got pregnant when she wanted to get pregnant. And she said all of her friends would just get pregnant. There was no issues. Not to say that there weren't any in the world, but amongst my mother's friends. And let me tell you, my mother's friends, like, and my mother had their partying days. Like, they did their drugs, they drank, they partied, they had fun. And so for our generation, I feel like, if anything, we're less crazy than the people of the 70s. Maybe we still did things, but we're not like that.
I don't know, a lot of Molly.
So I think it has to do with the food that we've eaten and also just the environment.
Possibly, but even getting pregnant when you're not trying to get pregnant is not what I would consider a smooth pregnancy. Like, I just don't know anybody who from point A to point B, everything goes according to plan. But when you watch all of these movies or any TV show, it's like, people want to get pregnant, the next month they're pregnant, and in 9 months from that, they have a kid. And that's like all we see all of the time. So our expectations are insane, because when you go to get pregnant, usually it takes people years.
Literally.
Years. And with the birth control that all of us are taking, it sometimes can take so much longer. You're supposed to be off of birth control a year and a half before you try to get pregnant.
Wow.
Which, like, how do you know a year and a half before you're going to get pregnant that you're ready to get pregnant? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I think in about a year and a half from now, I'll be ready to get pregnant. Then you go off birth control, and then you get pregnant that month. And then you're not ready yet. Like, there's just so much. It's so much more challenging than I ever realized as a kid, or just from watching pop culture things. It's a lot harder. So, it can cause no harm from her talking about this. It's really important that people start to feel more comfortable and confident sharing this kind of thing.
Yeah, and again, I think it opens up just the conversation, like you're saying, but also just the thought process for anyone, not just females, but males, to be able to address the situation in the right way.
It's really important. And kudos to Maria Menounos for talking about this very frequently and with such grace and poise. Lauren, you know, from being her producer on Conversations.
Monday through Thursday, and also on Fridays, we have a killer best of. It's amazing. The phone lines light up like you would not believe when we talk about this topic. There's, like you said, Roxy, so much shame, so much inadequacy women feel surrounding this topic. And so the fact that she's opening up about it is huge, because the more we can talk about it, the less stigmatizing it is, and the more hopefully women can, first of all, like, not feel alone, and second of all, maybe they can get help from each other to not have to go through this quite as much, or to go through it in a different way.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, next topic is...
I said absolutely, and then Michael said it after me. I wanted that to be clear.
Thank you. Next topic is something that, you know, there's so many details continuing to pour out about the situation in Las Vegas with the shooter, Stephen Paddock. And it's creepy to be able to hear, you know, the details, as, you know, terrible and saddening as the initial incident was. Now it almost... that feeling has stayed with a lot of people, hearing the details that have come out. Even I just saw about an hour ago, we found out that he was prescribed medicine, kind of an anxiety medicine that maybe caused violent outbursts. And that's just one of the many things we've learned in the last couple days. But something that I want to get everyone's take on of just living in a world where this could happen is that there have been reports of three other locations and concerts that he actually scouted prior to the Route 91 festival.
This one hits home.
One in downtown Las Vegas a couple weeks before. Where
all right, I set you up for it when I said this one hits home.
I know. The other one was in Boston at Fenway.
There we go.
Where you're talking about. And then in Chicago, he actually rented purchased a hotel room for a night to get a bird's eye view of another festival, Lollapalooza, which was going on. He allegedly did not actually go to Chicago or Boston, just kind of had plans. But it makes you think, like, how safe are you in this world?
Right. So here's the thing. This is all our country, and this is all our world. So whether this happens 14 feet from you or 14,000 miles from you, mm-hmm. at any place in this world, it should be relevant to your life. Because if it can happen anywhere, then it can happen to you. But for some reason, we don't seem to really be, I've never used this word before. Let's try and see if I can stick it here. We don't seem to be woke to it. Does that work?
We don't
seem to be woke.
I think it works.
Okay. We don't seem to, our awareness levels don't light up until it happens at home.
Yes.
Which is why we heard Kimmel talk about this so much on his show with Las Vegas, but always with people. Like, if it's where you're from, then you speak up about it more. Like Ash, Kevin and I all with Boston Strong. Bonjour, you too, probably. Like, anything that happens close to home. And I wish that there was a way for us to not have that. Because, you know, like you, when you're talking about Fenway, and I'm saying, yeah, that one hits close to home, Vegas should hit just as close to home for me. And it does, and it's horrible. But then you think about Fenway, and I think about Kevin and Maria were just there throwing that opening pitch.
Yeah.
Like, literally just there. So, and you have to realize that just because it didn't happen there doesn't mean it could have not, that it could have just happened just as easily. So
when I heard this, my first thought was actually getting back to Monday's show with our guest, talking about being aware in every situation. And it's almost the first step is
right, our Secret Service.
The first step is realizing that it can happen anywhere. And the second step is now you have to just be mentally aware of your surroundings, no matter where you are.
I think there's a step before that, which is a preventative step. But then you and I are on the same page about the other two.
Yeah.
Holy crap, Ola. This one... The more stuff that comes out about this Las Vegas story, the more details, the more confused I am, and the more sick to my stomach I am.
Yeah.
I think everybody's feeling
that. The latest
that
a lot of police are thinking that he had an incident roughly about a year ago. We don't know what it was, where he maybe snapped. The drug was prescribed in June of this year.
Was it Xanax?
It was. The name of the drug was... Diazepam, which is a sedative used to treat anxiety. Common brand names include Valium, Diastat, and Diazepam Intensol.
Diazepam is Valium. It's like the generic.
But they're saying in the last year he bought about 30 guns. And so they're thinking there was some kind of incident that maybe made him snap or was some kind of life-altering thing, and they just haven't released what it was. But, you know, you're talking about Kimmel and a lot of other people wanting, you know, gun control to come out of this, wanting to be able to start the discussion. And it was very interesting today that the NRA, which is the National Rifle Association, always a very conservative, you know, let's try to protect gun rights, actually came out today and said that we need more regulations on bump stocks, which is the thing that turns the semi-automatic weapon into an automatic weapon, which is what Stephen Paddock had.
I think the NRA finally found themselves in between a rock and a hard place on this one. I think that they could not not do something at this point, or at least say something to try and quiet down the chatter a little bit at least. They had to throw us a bone. It was too many huge celebrities, too many civilians, too many people saying something, and too much pointedness at the government for them not to help out a little bit. Because when nobody has your back anymore, when nobody's on your side fully, you got to do something to change. And I think the NRA was woke to this situation.
Wow.
Did I use it better that
way? Great job.
It's a confusing one to me. Like, I'm woke or it's woke.
Stay woke.
Stay woke. I got that one.
That
one.
I just like the song.
Yeah. yeah, I'd rather listen. Let's listen to Stay Woke. I stay woke. And while you're doing that also, because I like to make you multitask, Lauren, you know, we feel the way we feel when we feel it. So some of us feel sick to our stomach on days that things are happening. And then other things tend to happen to others of us. Lo, you had an interesting...
I had an interesting
time with this Las Vegas situation.
Well, here's the deal. So as we've talked about before, I do work on Maria's show, and Maria has a journalistic background, and so she approaches the show that way many times, often, and especially when these breaking news stories happen. So I spent the whole morning in the thick of things, literally trying to get survivors who were on the ground to call into the show. I had Evie call in. I was in the news stories.
Pampuras,
yes. So it was very heavy, and I was in the depths of depression by the middle of the day. And
as so many people across the country and world were.
As anyone would be, yeah. Any human being. I mean, I feel like when things like that happen, I do believe all human beings are connected. And so we feel it on a soul level when that many people who we're connected to are killed.
Yeah.
How could you not? So it was odd, though. Because I also, coupled with that, felt really horny.
Mm-hmm. Are you somebody who typically is horny at funerals? Or in the hardest of situations?
What? Yes. You just gave me a revelation, but when my grandfather died, sorry, Grandpa, if you're watching.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. But the only thing that I was working at the time, the only thing that took my mind off it was picturing myself having sex with my now boyfriend.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Mm. It's Wedding Crashers at the very end of the movie. They open up that funerals are a great place to get women.
Yeah, Lauren, this is a thing, and this is definitely not a thing to kick yourself about. People will react differently to different things, but sometimes in the deepest darkness, darkest days and places, our bodies like try to provide comfort for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And one of those places of comfort is our vagines.
And I think too, like, obviously it was a day of complete destruction and a lack of humanity. And I think one of the most alive human things we can do to connect with another human being is have sex.
Go to Bangtown.
Yeah. And so I think it is a natural reaction, but I did feel weird and guilty over it.
It's very uncomfortable. I am somebody who had sex on the night of my mom's funeral, and it was a very weird thing.
Yeah.
It was like I was not going to on purpose to not, but then I wanted to, and I was like, so I'm gonna anyway. This is weird. But like sometimes
you
kind of just gotta.
Because you were feeling aroused?
Yeah, I don't know if aroused was the right word. I like needed to.
You wanted something.
To.
That's
yeah,
what I
needed,
felt like.
You needed a release.
Yeah, exactly. I like needed something. And so that's what that something was. I was also like really hardcore trying not to be taking painkillers and stuff at the time. So like I was always itching for something.
Needed the drug.
He laughed at my pain. Yeah, definitely. So I think that, Lauren, that's a very normal human emotion. I would be interested if we put up a Twitter poll on how many people are horny when they're also simultaneously like depressed. It'd be interesting.
I think
to figure
it's a high number.
Yeah, I would guess, honestly. I would guess that it's at least half. All right, Michael, what do you got next?
You know, speaking of sex, Netflix and chill just got that much more expensive of a date night.
Damn!
Netflix is raising their prices for the first time in 2 years. They have three plans, so they got their base level plan, which I didn't even know is standard def video. The base plan, you don't even get HD video? Who would have that plan? But so there are three plans, and then the mid-level plan is raising.
I know what I have.
The mid-level plan, which a lot of people has, allows two users. It's raising $1 from $9.99 to $10.99.
Oh, it's two users? I have the one with five.
So the biggest one is four.
Oh, that's four?
It's four is the highest.
I have the one with five.
The highest tier, which is raising $2 a month from $11.99 to $13.99. And they said, Netflix says it's to cover content, which I feel, I don't know about you guys, I think that Netflix charges too little or need. I mean, I see it from a business standpoint. You have four people on an account.
You're so
I
woke.
I think people are abusing Netflix, and I don't mind them raising the prices.
I don't mind them raising the prices either because I demand great content.
Yes.
So if you're going to demand great content, you need to be okay with that. But my problem is this. I currently pay the whatever for Netflix that it is for the five people that I have, even though Michael told me that didn't exist. I have five. And then I pay for Hulu. And then I pay for Amazon Prime.
Hulu with or without ads?
Hulu without ads.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And then for Amazon Prime.
Yep.
And now with like for YouTube.
YouTube TV, and, you pay for that too?
And for,
I have it too.
And for, I was doing it for Screen Junkies. Even though I worked there, still was paying for it.
Oh.
Letting that one sit for a second. And then for all the other places, like Nerdist has their streaming service that I get. All of these places now have their platforms. And while I want Netflix to raise their price to ensure great content, especially after, aren't they like $20 million in debt or something?
So they're $20 billion in
billion.
Debt.
That's a good number.
Yeah, so your dollar will go a long way.
Long term totally. Debt and other obligations, $20 billion.
Yeah, so there is that, but at the same time, I'm paying more now in all of the $5 to $12 a month things that I'm paying for than I was paying when I was paying $65 for cable.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, no, I actually have the exact same rundown that you have, minus Nerdist. Sorry, Nerdist. But I have everything else the same. And I definitely don't, first of all, I don't miss cable at all. And I actually just love that the cable company always leaves me mail and calls me and tries to lure me back in. And I'm like, no thanks. I'd pay the dollar. I would pay it, honestly, if they charged $3 more, I would pay it. $5 more, I would pay.
Let's be real. If they charged $10 more a month, I would pay it. Because I have to at this point.
And you know what?
But one point I won't have to.
And they're not taking advantage because they know we would pay it. Most people would.
Now, Netflix, if you're looking at worldwide subscribers, they have 104 million worldwide subscribers. So you look at, you know, raising it a dollar.
Oh, my God, which is crazy because have you guys ever – bonjour, you're probably my best bet on this one. Have you ever used Netflix in France?
I have not. Netflix actually came out
when you after you left.
After I left.
When I was in Spain, Netflix is fucking baller.
Really?
They have like every movie, every rom-com that's ever existed. Their TV selection is a little less, but their movie selection trumps ours. I don't know whether that has to do with the rights or what.
Yeah,
what?
Different rights have different places. My brother is in England, and so sometimes like his subscription is different, and so we kind of exchange Netflixes that way.
It's baller.
Well, it's even interesting because the new Star Trek, we talked about it, came out like 2 weeks ago, and you have to buy based on the streaming service.
Right, that's
here
the other
the
one
US.
That I have to do now. It's CBS Discovery.
Yeah, in the U.S., you have to buy the CBS, but in other countries, they've included it in Netflix or like Hulu. Because I saw my friend, actor Doug Jones, put that out. He's like, you can watch it in the U.S.
I can't believe
CBS.
You call him your friend. That is so cool. He is so famous and wonderful.
He gets back in town, and I think like 4 days, we're going to have him on the show.
I can't wait. I want to pick
it?
His brain. Doug Jones.
Guy? Doug Jones.
What does he do?
He's so woke.
He's in Pan's Labyrinth. I think
the
third.
Is he Christian?
He's a very nice guy. Very solid guy.
Oh, he looks really nice.
Is he Christian? He's a very nice guy, yes. Uh-huh.
I didn't want to, you know, I don't know his like major spiritual background. We haven't talked about that, but I know he's just a very, I'd say a high moral guy. I know that. I think the third, he's maybe the second or third build character on the new Star Trek. He's been in Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy.
Do you guys watch anything that isn't on a streaming service at this point?
No.
Yeah
I have cable.
You do? So what are you excited for the fall?
Well, I don't see, I don't watch. This is the thing. Who has time to watch? It's less like
Ash,
I have the service.
What are you excited
for
in the fall?
It's more so the timing of watching.
Curb Your Enthusiasm right now just started.
Did you watch the premiere?
I did. It was awesome. I loved every second of it.
So fucking
it was
funny,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah,
this is my favorite thing when it came back. I was waiting for it the whole
Everything.
Time.
Everything. And you should actually, did you see the vocabulary section? If you go to info and more, you know they have that info and more button underneath everything?
Yeah.
Click on that. Anybody that doesn't know, there's a whole vocabulary thing of Larry David's like dictionary. You know how he's like, do you respect wood?
Yeah.
Do you respect wood? Like all those little sayings that he does.
Lauren, what are you most excited for in the fall?
I'm currently watching Law and Order True Crime about the Menendez brothers, and it is amazing. Edie Falco.
I haven't heard anybody talking about it.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. If you like the OJ show, you're going to like this one.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have to get on that one too. Bonjour, what about you?
Shameless. Shameless all the way. Honestly, I think my favorite show apart from Friends.
That's where I got the opening on our At the Tomorrow Show on our Instagram story. I opened with, we're going up in how many minutes? And then I gave the middle finger.
Yep.
Because that's what Shameless did for the 1 month.
Yep.
They're like, we're back in how many months? And then they all flip them off.
Yep.
I love that show.
It's
so good.
So
wait, you're covering that at AfterBuzz?
I am. So go check it out at AfterBuzz TV on YouTube and iTunes.
Yeah. All right, Michael, I'm giving you a second chance. What show are you excited for? Wow, he still shat the bed. I thought if I came back around to him. You don't have one show you're watching?
I can fill in for him if you want.
Yeah, what do you got?
Real Housewives of New Jersey. Just came back last night.
The Good Place.
Makes me feel like I'm in
just
home.
Debuted like a week ago. I was on the AfterBuzz panel for that first season and second season now, which seems pretty good. Michael Schur, trying to get him on my show. Trying in talks. So
cool.
That would be helpful.
Everybody tweeted him so that he comes on Michael's show. How's it going now that it's moved to AfterBuzz?
Seriously, the AfterBuzz brand behind you means so much.
Oh my God, the second you can drop that Maria Menounos bomb.
The second that you can be like,
queen.
So I'm actually on a network with Maria Menounos and, you know, we have
Kevin Undergaro.
Literally, and it's like,
yeah.
You get replies from everyone.
Yeah, because they don't want to piss you off at that point.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad.
So, yeah,
that's
fantastic.
Cool.
And so, yeah, go watch.
Plus
every,
Baller
every
Studios.
Whoa.
Yeah. Having a publicist.
And you changed the name of it.
I did. I changed it to I Could Never Be. That was a Kevin kind of suggested that. One, it's more catchy.
And by kind of, he means 100%.
He suggested that I
fully and completely
came up with the name. He was great on everything. And
he
so
kind of suggested it.
Their support has been, I mean, it's been amazing.
That's
obviously
awesome.
We love them for everything that they do, and that's just another added step. But yes, the studios to be able to use
that. What'd that pen do to you, Michael?
I'm a fidgeter.
I know.
I got a fidget spinner.
Honestly, it's awesome. I'm really happy for you.
Thank
you
very
great
much.
That the show's over there. Yeah. All right, that's our show then, guys.
Yeah.
Michael, where can the people find you?
You can find me at The Only MC and the show Mondays at 4:10 live on After Popcorn Talk, After Buzz Network.
Lauren LaGrasso, I know you got a show this weekend. I mean, this week.
Yes,
next
week. I'm going to be playing a show on Tuesday at Bar Lubitsch at 8 p.m. Please be there. It's going to be fun. Michael Klaus's roommate is going to be playing Cajon.
So I just got a text asking if I can do it. I think he somehow had an incident that unfortunately came up. But
Klaus is going to be playing Cajon with me, which is the drum box for those who aren't
Michael
musical.
On the drums. Michael on the drums.
Yeah, his fidgeting will be put to use.
Michael, give us a preview.
Show them what you got, baby. Oh, look at that.
Nailed it. Yeah.
You're going to be killing
it.
So 8 p.m. Bar Lubitsch, West Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard. Or not Sunset. I'm sorry. Santa Monica Boulevard. Also posted on my Instagram, Twitter, which is at Lauren LaGrasso.
Bonjour, Juliette, who sucks at the social media, but at least we don't like her more over there. Sometimes she posts in one of the places. What are you, Instagram or Twitter, that people follow you at?
You
Bonjour.
You can follow me at Bonjour Juliette on Instagram. And at Roxy, I never know. Should I say Bonjour Juliette or Bonjour Juliette?
Well, I think you sound sexier if it's Bonjour Juliette, but I also want people to know what the handle is, so I feel like
it's tricky, huh?
Yeah, like if you want to be one of us Americans for real, you can't even do the first part. You just have to say at Bonjour Juliette.
All right, y'all can find me at Bonjour Juliette.
Nailed it.
If you don't have the new iOS 11, they have it. You can do Siri Translate. And Siri, you say, Siri, how do you say this in Spanish, French, or Italian? And it's flawless.
Wait,
they
really?
Need that. They need that on Spouse House. They have an app for that. But you, sorry, not Spouse House, 90 Day Fiance before the 90 days. Because they don't speak the same language. They got to get that Siri life.
It is.
Wait, is that the update that you can,
the
that they can ask
on,
me
like,
to do?
What would
I'll
you
do
like
it.
To know in French?
Suck my balls.
Go
say
fuck
it.
Yourself.
Say suck my balls. Say suck my balls.
Hey, Siri. How do you say suck my balls in French?
In French, suck my balls is suce-moi les
couilles. Is that right?
Is that true?
It really is.
See?
Amazing.
It's awesome.
Can you do go fuck yourself in Italian?
He won't say fuck. That's why I said suck my balls.
Oh, come on. For me?
I gave you a softball.
Appreciate it.
A soft sucking ball.
Wow. Whatever.
Get it?
Yeah.
But
it is amazing. Seriously, if you're traveling, I can only imagine how awesome it's going to be.
That's great. At Ashley Daniels and at Miss Ashley Daniels. Yeah. Bitch still won't give it up.
No.
Sounds like when I say that she's a virgin.
No, it only sounds like that to you, I think.
Really?
No, I think that.
But whatever, Lauren.
That's what I say about Michael. Pitch won't give it up. We keep trying and trying, but he just won't.
Nope.
I'm at Roxy Stryer. We're at The Tomorrow Show. Don't forget it. Go find us on iTunes as well. We could use that 5-star, that comment on YouTube. Give us that thumbs up. Write us something real sweet. And, of course, at Undergaro. We miss our captain so much. Wish him well. Until Monday, make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.